You know, apart from the Spirit of God, we can have an American church. But with the Spirit, we can have a heavenly church. New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven above, manifesting that reality into the earth below. Holy Spirit, my words are useless without your Spirit filling them. So come, Holy Spirit, through my heart, through my mind, through our hearts, through our minds, through our very beings, and just fill the atmosphere now with life and life more abundantly. We love your life, Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you into everything we think, everything we do, everything of us. Let it be you through and through in Jesus' name. Yeah, just soak us in the anointing, soak us in the oil, and soak us in the wine of the Holy Ghost. Soak us in rivers of living water. Drown us until there's nothing left but Christ in us, the hope of glory. Drown everything, God. Put it all to death in Christ. Put everything to death in Christ. And everything that can remain, that's unshakable, let that remain. And water and water and water it in Jesus' name. Water us, God. Water us. Those trees of righteousness, oaks of righteousness, God. Water us with the fruit of the Spirit, the living Spirit waters. Water the fruit of the Spirit in us, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shabba. Yeah. You know that seeds are capsules. And within the capsules is a substance called faith or unbelief. You know, doubt is the same thing as unbelief. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But it's also, when you hear the voice of God, that voice is eternal. That power is still there. So you can draw on what God has spoken to you in the midst of a battle, even though it feels like he's really far away. And the battle is mostly in the soul, in the mind. It's in the spirit, but it hits the soul so that it affects your body. That's what depression is. It's a spiritual demon that latches onto your soul with thoughts and trauma, and then it affects your body, it makes you weak. Well, there's no depression in heaven. If it's supposed to be on earth as it is in heaven, that is an illegal trespasser that you have the authority to rebuke and to cast it out. You have the authority. All authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me, Jesus. Everything that you say in Jesus' name, you know, he's given you authority to use his name. And it's not just tagging the name of Jesus at the end of a prayer. You're in his name. His name is power. His name is life. His name is resurrection, power, and life. And it's like you're coming in his name. So is as his representative on the earth, you're using his authority to destroy demons. And one of them just happens to be depression, lying spirits. I went through this thing, this is hard to believe. This unbelief is hard to believe, what I went through last week. This thought came to me, like the presence of God would just lower, and then like 2 seconds of just manifest glory, and then it would lift. Oh my God, what happened? God, come back. You know, what happened? And you know, then about 2 minutes later, the presence of God would come back down and just abide, and then just take off again. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? Did I sin? Did I do something wrong? And I'm just looking at myself, and I don't see anything different. I haven't done anything different. And then all throughout the week, it's been real hard to worship. I hurt my wrist. It hurts to play guitar. It hurts to play piano. I was getting frustrated. I didn't get depressed, not that I know of. I just got really agitated and frustrated and just worn out. Like, God, you're gonna have to come. I need the presence of the Lord to help me. And I went into this panic mode. God, help, God, help, God, where are you? God, where are you? And I started saying with my mouth, like, oh, God's too busy. He must be helping everyone in China. You know, there must be new converts in China who need his hand. And this unbelief crept into me that God was too busy for me. You know, God's omnipresent. I know that. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Yeah, I know that. But this unbelief kept just piercing and piercing and piercing and piercing and piercing at me. Till it came to the point where I actually believed that God was really too busy for me. There's something wrong with me, so he's not landing on me. And then I just got hit hard. I got spun out of control. And like, man, I was all full out in the flesh. I don't know if I sinned. I can't remember. But all unbelief is sin. So I had to repent. I didn't know what to repent of, though. That's the problem. It was so confusing. But it was physically affecting my body. Like, I felt physically weak. My soul felt all scrambled up. Like, my thought patterns were just like, what the heck? So I'm, like, rebuking witchcraft. I'm just, like, swinging blindly, just trying to hit this thing that's hitting me. And I don't know what it is. But now I do. It's unbelief. They could not enter in because of unbelief. Where were they entering? That rest. Sabbath rest. They were entering into the kingdom where you cease from your labors and you let him labor through you. I have no idea how I got there. It was, man, it just kind of caught me off guard. And you know how I broke it though? This is amazing. You know, if you cast your bed upon the waters, they'll come back to you, right? I got everyone to pray for me. Thank you for everyone who prayed for me. But I didn't get my breakthrough that night. Maybe it was the next day. God was like, you know, taking time or something. I don't know. He's helping people in China, you know, getting their new Bibles and stuff. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it would happen when I put on one of my old videos that I made like about a year ago. I was listening to sermons like all week. Like, I've been listening to the Bible nonstop. But even much study is a weariness of the flesh. If there's no spirit in it, there's like, it just wears me. Like, I don't even want to do this anymore. Sermons seem to get boring because it's all the heart, man. The seed of your heart. The seed goes into your heart, I mean. The heart is the soil that absorbs the seed, and the seeds are the words. So the thoughts that you think are the ones that you think. The other thoughts that go through your mind, like with when you're on passive mode, those come from two different realms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And I should have recognized it right away, but I failed to. But I recognize it now, and I'm going to help you if you're dealing with the same thing that I had to go through. It wasn't fun. But what I said in my video is like, it's this, I was just faith. I was like just speaking reality. Like, yeah, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all these lies, these thoughts, thinking that God has forsaken me. It was like a thought that like, yeah, God's left me because there's some kind of sin in me. And I know the scripture says that he'll never leave me or forsake me, but what I feel is saying something else. What I was feeling was the demon that came in through an unbelief door. And so I even asked God a few days ago, like, what do you want to, like, what's the word for today? What's my daily bread? What's the manna? You know, manna is your daily bread, the daily bread of his presence and the daily bread of revelation. Then you drink his blood for get intoxicated in his love, which is worship. But and I felt like he's saying like seeds of faith. If you say to this mountain, it's so huge, it's blocking out the sun, it's blocking out the sky. You just see a mountain in front of you. You say to this mountain, be cast up and plucked into the sea and thrown into the sea. If you just have a mustard seed, tiny seed of faith, that mountain will have to leave. Because that seed of faith comes from its light. It's like, comes from the kingdom of heaven, and that one little tiny piece of light that's inside that seed is enough to destroy an entire mountain of darkness from blocking out your path. And so what I did, I started contradicting what the spirit, like the unclean spirit, was saying to me, and I spoke the truth. I was like, yeah, I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. I'm already here. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. No angel or demon, nothing can separate me. I'm here. And I just, by faith, I didn't even feel the faith. I just stepped into it. I could feel the substance as I stepped into it. What happened was I felt the darkness falling off of me, trying to cloak over me. But that image wasn't me. That's the image of darkness. That's the image that the enemy tries to throw over you. Well, what happened was that thing came off of me and the real me came and manifested who I really am. It's like I'm a being in the glory. You know? I'm Jesus' son. I mean God the Father's son. Here, let's read this. Like, you just speak by faith against the opposite thing what those things are saying, because the enemy comes to shut down the true identity that you have in Christ. I go over these scriptures over and over again, but they really make sense now. It's a true reality. Listen to this. Christ's resurrection from the dead is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above, for that's where Christ sits, enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. You have to yearn for that place, to be there. Not just in thought only, it starts there. But it's your body, your soul, and spirit being there. Like, your body can feel the presence of God. As your soul magnifies the Lord, He projects Himself through you, and all the darkness falls off of you. Now, in His light, we see light. Like, in the light of God, we can see even more light. Of God. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts, which is your soul, fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Okay, I wasn't getting distracted from the natural realm, by the natural realm. I was getting distracted by, in my soul, from a lie. And the Bible says that we're to cast down wicked imaginations that exalt itself against the revelation knowledge of God. Like, the knowledge of God. What God has revealed to you, wicked spirits come and try to take that seed away. And they anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God has to be cast back down, because the knowledge of God is in Christ in heavenly places where you are seated. And you sit up there and you just receive and you drink in the heavenly realities. You drink in the presence of God. You drink in everything that's around you, the tree of life, the grass, the fragrance, the face of God, everything that God is and everything that God made that's good. Like, you can just take it in. It's like going to the beach and just staring at the water, enjoying the sounds of the waves and the birds chirping. You're just taking it in. Well, that's kind of what God wants you to do in heavenly places in Christ. Like, once you're there in reality, you can sense it. It's like when you're in the midst of worship, you're just taking God in. You're pouring out your heart to God and you're taking God in. You're just surrendering everything to God and you're taking God in. And that's what God wants you to meditate on. And what happened to me was I was meditating on the lie, saying that God was like far away. God, like, just because I don't feel His presence, God is like distant from me and something's unclean in me because He's not resting and abiding on me. Well, these are all lies that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, because I already quoted the scriptures that says that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Did I lose my seat? Did I leave? Has God changed? No, God doesn't change. Hallelujah. And He's the one who changes us when we go from glory to glory. And you start there. You start in the glory. But look at this. Fill your thoughts with heavenly realities. That's a command. Fill your thoughts with heavenly realities. You know, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is honest, whatsoever is of good report, meditate on these things. Why? Because those things come into you. It's like they're all around you, but it's also the kingdom of God within you, but it's also the kingdom of heaven around you. And you're just like this portal of just releasing the kingdom of God within you that's coming out through you, activating the kingdom of heaven around you, and the other people around you can experience that. We're supposed to make known His ways. We show forth good works. by manifesting righteousness, righteous works, so that people can glorify our Father in heaven. I was thinking about filling your thoughts. It's like, you know how you go, you just like say it's Thanksgiving dinner time or something like that, and you're just filling your belly with turkey and, you know, apple pie, and you're just filling yourself. You're like, oh, I can't eat another bite. But there's still dessert, and you're just a couple more. You're just like filling yourselves with dinner, an earthly reality. And you get all sleepy after the turkey, and you feel so satisfied. Well, this is like mind food, soul food. You're filling your mind with things above. You're just stuffing it full of heavenly realities, whether it be meditating on the Bible and stopping on a scripture that's been, God highlights for you, and you just dive through those words right into that heavenly reality and experience it, and then come back and come to tell about it. You know, it's, you're just taking it in, all of God, the presence of God, the voice of God, the Spirit. And it just becomes part of you. Just like that turkey dinner, say you've been working out, your muscles are going to need protein. You're going to feel energy so you can go jogging. You're going to have all these nutrients filling your body. Well, that's what setting your affections on things above does. It just fills your mind, your soul with nutrients of God so that you can have, you'll just be more closer to God in reality, in like substance, not just in thought only, like, but it's like in substance, the presence will be there. Maybe God will talk to you audibly about what you just saw and heard, or he's talking to you in visions and stuff like that. He'll give you dreams. That's how God speaks in the Bible. So a lot of your souls are hungry, and they'll feed on two things. Three things. They'll feed on darkness, or they'll feed on light, or they'll feed on things in the natural, but those are distractions. He says to feed on things above, which are spiritual things. Spiritual things with substance to manifest into your heart, out through your heart. Out of your heart will flow the issues of His life. His life flow. And just like fill up, God, just right now, I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, the Father of glory. Thank you for that knowledge of glory, that revelation knowledge of glory, revelation knowledge of glory, not knowledge of the good and evil, which never brings us into glory, but the knowledge, revelation, spiritual knowledge of glory, where things are revealed, the deep things of God are revealed to us who believe. And I thank you for breaking that spirit of unbelief. It's a choice to say no to unbelief and yes to God. I had to make a choice. It was really easy just to stay in that state of like, oh, God has left me. Oh, I feel so bored. And some people might even get sad and angry. But it was a choice to step out of it. You shall know the truth, and that truth will set you free. That there's many layers to that. You shall know Jesus Christ Himself, and He sets you free. Stay in that freedom now. You shall know the truth, the contradiction of the enemy. Like, that truth will just destroy it. Whether it be a scripture, whether it be someone prophesying to you, thus saith the Lord, or whatever. You'll know the Spirit of truth, and He sets you free. And just remaining in that freedom. Like, in Him we move, we live, and we have our being, as beings of those who are walking in the truth. A lot of people say, all right, I'm in the truth, and they think that the truth is actually their cult. Like Jehovah's Witnesses or something like that. Are you in the truth, brother? That means, are you in the organization? Has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Christ is Spirit. Yeah. I don't even debate them anymore. I'll just tell them the truth. And I'll tell them my testimony about Jesus and how I experience Him daily. And he's a living person. And they can make a choice. A lot of times they want to sit there and talk about the end times. They'll try to change the subject. But no, there's nothing more important than my relationship with Jesus. Why would you want to talk about something, a rapture or whatever they believe in? I don't even care what they believe. I don't care what people believe or don't believe. I only care about Jesus Christ and the manifest glory. You say you believe something, prove it, manifest it. Yeah, so fill your thoughts with heavenly realities. That's like your mind is hungry for the mind of Christ. Your mind is hungry for those heavenly realities. I was reading the Bible just yesterday. I was getting a little bit whack. I was picturing like the substance of like, may the mercy and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be upon you all, or something. Like, I can't remember what the scripture we were reading. I think it was Colossians or something. I was just seeing the love of God, the grace, the power, the substance, just coming right out of God's heart into my heart, and just boom, and it felt good. I was engaging everything. I was setting my mind on it. I want to see it. I want to see it with my mind. I want to see it with my heart, because blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So I just fantasize about God. I don't know if that's the right word, but fantasize, like meditate. Just think about Him with all the desires inside of me and just connect to Him. And that produces a hunger. And the Holy Spirit loves to come and fill those hungry hearts that are earnestly pursuing Him, diligently pursuing Him. And the natural realm is a distraction a lot of times. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. And now your true life is hidden away in God as you live within the Anointed One. As you live within the Anointed One. Meditate on that for a while. As you live within the Anointed One. Full of dripping with heavy anointing oil. Saturating every cell in our body, in our soul, in our spirit, that anointing oil just drips through us, breaking us free from all the snares of the world. Anything that ties us down to this earth is being broken by the Anointed One. As we live in the Anointed One, Jesus Christ Himself, He's the Anointed One, dripping oil everywhere. There's oil in the air. There's oil in the hair. There's oil from the beard all the way down to the toes. Just saturated in that thick oil of healing, oil of joy, oil of gladness. I love the healing balm of Gilead oil. I love the oil. I love the oil. Hallelujah. He's the oil, hallelujah. You have no need that any man teach you, but that same Spirit will teach you all things. That anointing oil will teach you. The anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing teaches you. Hallelujah. And it brings you from glory to glory. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your true life, your true identity. Now your true life is hidden away in God as you live within the Anointed One. Your true life. A lot of people put their identity in their denomination or their identity in their job. Your true life is in Him. Your true identity is in Christ. Because all these other things are going to be burned and pass away. Cares about denominations and your job and whatever. Your true identity. You have two identities, whatever. One's of this world, another's of the true world that we come from, the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, you see, you might say, well, you're a carpenter, that's cool. I don't see Jesus or was that Joseph still hammering her nail. His identity is in heaven, New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. That's where our identity comes from, our Father, right? Well, call no man father on the earth, for one is your Father in heaven. My identity comes from my Father in heaven. He is. And I can't afford to think anything else that would contradict what he says I am. Because that builds a sandcastle of unbelief all around me. And when the waters come in, it choke on that sand. And it's not good. Your identity is in God. God is your father. No man is your father. Because you're looking, don't look at the natural, the distractions of the natural realm. Look at the spirit. You are spirit. Those who are born of the spirit are spirit, you know. If you're born again, you've been born of the spirit. You've been born of the spirit up from your father God in heaven. You know, he's your father. He's your supplier. He's our supplier. Everything I say for all of us. It's like, he's our supply. Like, blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. The reason we're poor in spirit is because we're just dependent fully for all of our resources that come from him. You know, we don't have to look at the birds of the air and the flowers on the ground. It's like God clothes them and feeds them. How much more will he look after us, his spiritual children? You know? Wearing these earth suits just to like show everyone else what our father's like. And when we show people truly what our Father is like through spiritual experience, they will glorify our Father in heaven. Because they'll see him. Look at this. And every time Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed. Who you are. When you see him, when he appears, every time Christ himself is seen for who he is, who you really are, will also be revealed. For you are now one with him in his glory. One with him in his glory. Just meditate on that for a while. Just being one with him in his glory. In his manifest glory. On earth. As he is in heaven, we're one with him in that manifest, tangible substance of glory. Glory. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living and dwelling inside of us. So what death, where is your sting? The exact same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living and dwelling inside of you, temples of the Holy Ghost. Now, faith is the substance of things that is hoped for. Faith is it's the evidence of things not seen. But you see it by faith. And you know you have it by faith. It's the substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You step into the substance of the glory. You step into the substance of the anointing. You step into the substance of seeing those things above that just dominate the things below. You step into the substance and you meditate on those things and just drink them in. You see your Father, you drink him in. And the more you see him, the more of his image you drink in to manifest and reflect. The more you drink, the more you'll thirst for him, for more of him, so you can be continuously flooding your every gate through your eyes, through your nose, your mouth, your ears. You hear what he hears. You smell the fragrances of heaven. You see through his eyes. His heart beats through yours, and you see people and you just love them. You don't even know them, but he knows them, and it's his love beating through your heart so that you will go over them and over to them and give them a word of the Lord. Or sometimes the word of the Lord may not be thus saith God. Sometimes the word of the Lord is just, give them a hug. Sometimes the word of the Lord is just like, they might be crying. And you just put your arms around them and just, you consciously, you're releasing the glory upon them. Consciously, you make an intent in your heart to release the presence of God upon them. Like a lot of times when God will give me a word, he just wants me to hug somebody. You know, or on a sky trip, I gave this testimony before. There's this demon possessed guy, just love your mother and you'll obey your parents, and he's scaring these people on the train, and it was infuriating me. I hate demons, and I hate fear. And he was manifesting a demon of fear onto these girls, and I could see that they were scared. And I'm like, God, what do you want to do about this? Like, I thought, like, like, he's going to get struck with lightning from heaven and just fall on the ground and start quivering. The demons will fly out of him, and he'll come to himself like, whoa, what happened? I'm like, Jesus came in power and glory. But that's not what happened. What happened was God walked by me, like 2 seconds, just tell him I love him. Presence of God, gone. Presence of God came for 1 second or 2 seconds. Tell him I love him. Gone. And I question if that was even God or not. Like, what? I don't know. Can that spirit of fear hit me? If I tell him that Jesus says that he loves you, he's going to turn around and punch me in the face. He's going to hurt me. And I was like, oh man, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't even know if that was God. But the presence of God was there. And so... he got off the sky train, and I ran off. It wasn't even my stop. I ran off, and I walked up to him, and I put my hand on his shoulder. I walked from a distance, and I just put my hand on his shoulder. And he turned around and looked at me, and tears rolled down his face. And I said, sir, Jesus says that he loves you. And he's like, when you put your hand on me, it was like an angel touched me. And I was like, well, that's just Jesus confirming. Jesus says that he loves you. God loves you. And I prayed with him there, and he got born again. What happened? Well, that was a righteous work. That wasn't any work of the flesh. It was by the Spirit. God said, tell that man that I love him. I'm like, the word of the Lord is Jesus is the word of God, right? God said by a word, gave me a word, went over, and I told him, Jesus says that he loves you. That's the word of the Lord. I didn't add to it. I didn't take away. That word hit his heart. All the demons left him. And I prayed with him. And he gave his life to that power. And he glorified my Father in heaven by yielding to the Spirit of God. And nothing I could have done in my own flesh. I could have like sat him down and took him through the, you know, the 4 spiritual laws and taught him, like, let's read the Bible now. It was just something spiritual that I heard, and I just released it. And trust me, I did not have a lot of faith. I had a mustard seed. And I said to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, you spirit of fear. I did not have, all I had was I was scared. I was scared. Honestly, to tell you the truth, I thought I was going to get punched in the face. I thought I was going to get beat up, but no. What happened was my bigger brother Jesus was behind me, or in me, or he was there to back up the word of God. So he punched the demon in the face, and the demons left the man, and he got delivered, and he found salvation that day. No one takes the glory but God himself, because he took this fearful little piece of dust and just threw him in the battle, and that's what happened. Hallelujah. Yeah, I love that kind of stuff. But well, that nothing would have happened if I didn't set my affections on things above. Because notice how I could have looked at this situation in the natural. There's a demon-possessed man tormenting these little girls. I could have went up to him. Hey, man, back off. What do you think you're doing? That's what a natural man would do. See, if I had bigger muscles, you go sit down. You know, try to rough him up and stuff in the flesh. He would have never had an encounter with Jesus. He might have been humbled, or he might have lashed out and probably got beat up, or could have, you know, but I don't have enough muscles to whip anybody. You know, it just would have been a work of the flesh. But when you set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth, you see things on the earth from above, and you realize that that's a demon. That's not on earth as it is in heaven. That has to change. Holy Spirit. And so as you set your affections there, the affections of God comes through you. The affections of God was love. And it casts out a spirit of fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. So his perfect love came and released it. It's in the name of Jesus. No other name can you be saved, but it's the name of Jesus. When you release the true name of Jesus by the Spirit, it destroys all fear. All unbelief has to go by the Spirit. Like, you flick on a light, how's the darkness going to stay? You know? in the name of Jesus, you know, scares the darkness off just like that.
Hallelujah.
So if you have faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to the mountains, be gone. How do you say to the mountains, be gone? It's by the Spirit. It was by the Spirit that God created the heavens and the earth. I mean, the earth. All the mountains. All the water. All the comets in the sky. The stars in the sky. The galaxy. You know? The galaxies. You know, oh, these things are massive. Quasars and black holes and white holes and the entire universe. Or even if it's a multiverse, I don't even know. God created all that, just speaking it. It's by His Spirit. And there it is. And we see like a little demon and we're like freaked out, you know, like, we get punched in the face. But it's just one word from God can change everything. One word from the living God is the difference between life and death for some people. So consider your life in this natural realm is already dead and buried. Live as one who has died to every form of sexual sin, impurity. Live as one who died to the diseases and the desires for forbidden things, including the desire for wealth, which is the essence of idol worship. Idol worship. When you live in these vices, you ignite the anger of God against these acts of disobedience. That's how you behaved before you were joined to Christ. You once were characterized by your evil deeds, but now it's time to eliminate them from your lives once and for all. Anger, fits of rage, all forms of hatred, cursing, filthy speech, and lying. And now you have embraced the new creation life as the true reality. Lay aside your old Adam self with its masquerade in disguise. It is like a disguise. It's like being cloaked in darkness from the real you. When you give your life to Jesus, when you get translated into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God comes inside you, and you walk in your new creation, like all the old things have passed away, and all things have been made new. You've been renewed. The only thing that needs to keep on getting renewed is your mind, because we walk through a dark world to radiate the light. If you are the light of the world, then that tells me that the world is in darkness, so you need to be the light of the world. And you don't meditate on the darkness, because then that darkness will cloud you, and you'll start seeing through that veil of darkness. But you walk in the light as He's in the light, and in His light you see light. You see things clearly and sharp. And you can help bring other people out of it. You don't have to give in to a depression demon or thoughts of unbelief. Just one seed of life is enough to obliterate all that torment. Oh, that's Jesus. Alright, well, my wife is back. I'm gonna go eat some food now. One seed. So believe God and disbelieve the devil. Because if you believe what the enemy is saying, you'll take on his image. Believe what God is saying, you'll walk in your true image, the image of God. God bless your face.